I needed a little relaxing music today. Welcome to the 109th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. On the running front, I'm training for a half and a whole marathon at the Biltmore Estates in March, so that's coming along okay. I'm ramping up from my Miami marathon, so I usually take a few days off and then start ramping up again. So that's going well. I teach a nutrition class that's six sessions long. We just finished the second one, so people are just getting started and learning what plant-based nutrition is. This class, every class is different. This class has mainly newbies in it, so people are learning the what and the why and the how. So the first session we did a potato soup, and this session we did, this class we did a whole grain frico, which is a sun-roasted whole wheat with Swiss chard and butter beans. Everybody liked that. And I try to introduce different nutrients each time. So if we look at Joel Fuhrman's G-bombs, we do greens and beans and whole grains, nuts and seeds, mushrooms, onions, and berries. So I try to introduce all those throughout the course. And we talk about the what and how nitric. So many of you have listened to the podcast before, and you heard me speak with Timmarie Hagenberger. And Timmarie's a nutrition professor and a registered dietitian. And she was so gracious to come to my second annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference this January, and we had a ball. We connected on multiple different levels, and we decided we wanted to make this an ongoing thing a little bit, even though she's in California and I'm in Florida. But we'd like to, you know, talk about what's happening in both our worlds and kind of make a fun podcast out of it. So we've decided to try to connect on a monthly basis if possible. And then she told me about a theme for her monthly news article, how to go from an excusitarian to a doer. So we're going to try on a monthly basis to come up with or to have a topic that we discuss, and she can tell me her problems and I'll tell her my problems, and you can think about your problems and maybe email us and we can solve everybody's problems. So welcome, Timmarie Hagenberger.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you, Jamie. So I was talking to you a little bit about the idea that for my theme, for my 2017 news paper articles that I'm going to write, I was going to take one excuse at a time because I hear a lot of different reasons and barriers why people don't move forward to becoming better versions, you know, of themselves. So I thought, why don't we just focus? I'm going to focus on one excuse at a time and move from this idea of excusitarian to a doer. And I was talking to my son about this, and he said, you have to come up with a better name than doer. I mean, excusitarian, that's pretty cool, but doer. But then the more we thought about it, being a doer is just simple, and it's often the easier choice. You know, it's the not doing and then having to deal with all the natural consequences of, you know, not eating well, not moving our bodies enough, or getting adequate sleep. And then all those health problems come up, you know, and then you have to visit Dr. Jamie because you're having issues with your heart and your blood pressure and your cholesterol. So I know you're in the business of putting the medical business out of business and teaching people how to take care of themselves so that they can actually enjoy their lives. So you are so gracious in saying that, yes, you would love to talk about this and that we could make 2017 the year of simple, intentional action. So we have talked about this, you know, New Year's resolution concept for a long time, and it's February now, and so all that excitement about this is what I'm going to do is starting to wane, and we're starting to see these little excuses pop up. But I like to quote Mark Twain, right, and say, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So the excuses that we're holding on to, you know, are they really serving us? So this month, the focus is going to be on it's too expensive to eat healthy. That's the excuse. So do you want to tackle that one together?
Let's do it. Here we go.
All right. So I hear this excuse all the time. This is my students' probably favorite excuse. Because as you know, what do they call them? Starving students, right? So they tell me, oh, no, it's too expensive to eat healthy. And then sometimes they'll even add the dreaded, I have to go to the dollar menu. And so I smile and I say, oh, sweets, we definitely can do better than that. But it's really the way that food is marketed that we feel like we have to make those choices, that there's no way that you could eat healthy and save money. I mean, isn't it more expensive? So do you hear that from patients?
Oh yeah. At first, it's going to be awful healthy to eat because first they think, oh, I'm going to have to eat 100% organic. And, all these vegetables are very expensive. Do you know how much apples are a pound or, you know, how much organic zucchini is a pound? And I think it's kind of funny probably because I think people, they may pay attention to how much that is of a pound because they can see it, but they don't see how much potato chips are a pound.
Right. Oh, no, that's definitely true. And then when you think, I mean, really the reality check is when people think about the most expensive items on their grocery list, it's the flesh, right? It's the fish, it's the chicken, it's the pork, it's the beef. Then it's the cheese. Cheese is expensive. And then the cream cheese and the sour cream and the yogurt. And then eggs. I mean, eggs are expensive, and butter and cow's milk. And then all those processed foods, like you said, you know, the potato chips. And, you know, you open the bag of potato chips and what's half of it? Air, you know. And you may think that there's a food substance in there, but, you know, there's just a bag of chemicals, right? I don't even know that we can consider some of those things food. We were talking about it in class this past week, and I said, have you ever seen a fruit snack tree? I said, I've seen apple trees, but I've never seen a fruit snack tree. I said, but you guys, I'm doing your diet studies, and all I'm seeing are, you know, food-like substances, you know, one after another. So, and I don't know, they tell me about eating out, you know, and when you think about eating out, well, you know, what are the most expensive items on the menu? Are they the baked potato, the side of beans, the veggies, and the salsa? And I don't know, I bet you can attest to this. This is what happens when I get home from eating out most often. This is the thought that goes in my head. We could have made that at home, and it would have tasted a lot better because I wouldn't have used oil and I wouldn't have used all that salt. I could have saved money, and we would have had leftovers to enjoy possibly all week. But all I'm left with is a receipt in my purse.
Exactly.
So I don't know. So there's definitely a reason why people get stuck with this excuse because that's their comfort zone. And so they, you know, think, well, if I just say it's, you know, more expensive, it has to be more expensive, then I'm safe to keep eating, you know, what I'm still eating. So.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's where you look for the food. It may be that we can target farmers markets. Walmart has a huge produce with a lot of organics now that really good deals. I got mangoes today, 68 cents a piece. That's huge right now.
That's great.
And if you look at their, you know, and the bigger bags of potatoes, so you don't have to buy two potatoes. You could get 5 pounds of potatoes.
Exactly. No, I've got this little plan that I want to, this little mnemonic actually that can really help people think about. So I talk about the three P's. Okay. So, which is kind of funny. I have to laugh because I'm always talking about poop in class, you know, and so now I get to talk about pee, but this is not urine. This is the three P's. So the three P's are, one is plan. So when I think about planning, that means I'm going to be able to save money and I'm going to have much less stress because if I have to think of things on the fly and use my decision, you know, making skills and have to use willpower, then forget it. You know, after a while there, you're just going to start to, your car's just going to drive right towards that, you know, takeout place, and you're going to feel like you're not even driving it. So plan, and we can talk a little bit more about it. Prep. So the second P is for prep. And the benefit of prep is that you get it just the way you like it. So I don't know, we both talk to our patients and clients about making the easiest options the best. And this is not just for money, but just for quality of life. So, you know, when I open my refrigerator, if I have some jicama chips in there that I've made, you know, in my lemon juice and some carrots, or if I have the romaine lettuce already rinsed and wrapped, you know, in the paper towel so that my kids can just, okay, have a Caesar salad, and they, oh, is the lettuce clean? You know, they kind of look, yeah, it's waiting for you. Then it's a matter of just taking it out and chopping it up. And then the last P, which is really expensive, or excuse me, which is really important, is package. So when I think of that last P, I think about my work salad. So my lunch is at work. I put them on Instagram because they're beautiful. They are gorgeous, and I'm sure that people are getting tired of seeing them. But I make my salads for the week, and they are hearty salads. You know, from the book, I talk about my crazy salad. And they keep me going. I teach 5 classes back-to-back, 5 80-minute classes, and I have a short lunch in between. And so I need something that's going to fuel me for the whole day. And so that, you know, whether I package my food for work or whether I have a foodie bar set up at home, you know, when the kids get home from soccer practice and I've chopped everything up and so it's all waiting for us and we open, you know, up the fridge and set everything out, or one of my favorite parts of my whole kitchen experience, you know, house experience, is my freezer. I use that freezer like nobody's business because I don't want my kids or husband to get tired of a certain food or for me. So I'll always use that freezer to package if I'm doing soup or stews or something like that. So those are my 3 P's. But I have more ideas that I want to share with you. But what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, the plan, I think, is great. And, you know, it's much nicer if you have your menus planned before you go to the grocery store. You know, a friend of mine, she always talks about vegetable pressure. We used to get these boxes from a local farm. And so you would get these big boxes for whatever was you know, whatever was ready to pick that week. You never really knew until 2 days before what you were getting. And so if people were new to plant-based diet, then they had all this vegetable pressure because they had to figure out what to do with all those vegetables. On the other hand, if you set your menus before, then you can go and shop accordingly so you don't have all this excess stuff that you're looking at wondering, what am I going to do?
Right, and it doesn't go bad. So that's, you know, sometimes our eyes can be, you know, bigger than our tummies with when we're talking about a certain meal, but also just when you're shopping, if you start, oh my gosh, this and this and this and this, and then you get home and, you know, you have to do a version of Chopped and figure out, how do I use these random ingredients to put something together so that they don't go bad? Or, you know, or they do go bad, and then you say, see, I can't buy produce, you know, because it ends up going bad. It's just lack of, you know, lack of a plan, you know, it's just, it hasn't served you. So one of the things that I really wanted to focus to, I'm going to take this P thing to the highest level. So the king of all P's are plants, right? Mm-hmm. So our plant-based pantry and then produce. So both of us have mason jars full of all kinds of beans and peas and lentils and brown rice and bulgur and oatmeal and chia and flax and, you know, these basic staples so that they're available in our pantry at all times. And then you and I can focus, and our patients and our students can focus on then adding that rainbow. You know, rainbow of produce. So I think a couple good ways to purchase the produce in an economical way would, of course, to start with a master grocery list. You know, so I'll tell you what's on mine, and then you tell me what's on yours. Okay. So every week I get red onions, I get red cabbage or purple cabbage, I get garlic, greens, I buy some rainbow salad, which is kind of like a, I don't know if they have it where you are, but it's like a broccoli slaw, but it incorporates cauliflower, and it's all julienned, mm-hmm. mushrooms, broccoli, and then sweet potatoes and or purple potatoes. So those are my solid. And greens includes kale and parsley and cilantro and, you know, a whole bunch of different greens. So that's my master grocery list. As well as, you know, we eat through bananas and apples. And we have some frozen things we get, but the berries and frozen greens. But that's my master grocery list. What's on yours?
Yeah, I start out with, you know, I kind of think top to bottom from breakfast to lunch. So my greens, I usually always have kale in my smoothie or spinach. So it's there's always kale on the list. Usually kale and spinach, because if I don't put the spinach in my breakfast, then it's in my lunch. So there's a couple kinds of greens. And again, the purple cabbage, if I've used all mine. And the great thing about the purple cabbage is if you don't use it all, it lasts, you know, it'll make it a couple weeks. Always mushrooms. A variety of peppers. I like orange peppers and green peppers. Maybe poblanos are in season down here. You know, we have the onion allergy boy in the house, so we have to have some leeks on hand. And then it's usually zucchini or eggplant. We don't usually do both in a week, so it's either kind of one or the other, zucchini, eggplant, or yellow squash. So it's kind of varies. And then a fruit. And then the fruit, I just kind of look at what's in a variety. So certain, whatever's in season or what's local and you know, at a good price. So, you know, we're still having some persimmons and able to get mango, but pears are in season. The Honeycrisped apples are in season. You can get pineapples around here pretty easy. Papayas, this is papaya season. So I always have a big variety of fruit because we do it in the morning. A big fruit ball, you know, may have some smoothies or fruit later on the evening as well. So that pretty much takes care of me. Yeah, and I always make sure, you know, if we've, you know, we between the two houses, as you know, my mom has her own kitchen, and so it's kind of nice if I run out of potatoes, I can go sneak hers or onions, and we kind of go back and forth. But yeah, we always want to have potatoes and sweet potatoes on hand.
Yeah, no, and we do the peppers. I made me think about the peppers, and then I do those. I look at the ads, and I go to the farmers markets because, you know, produce, asparagus is one we really enjoy, but it ranges from like 88 cents a pound to like $6 a pound here, you know, when it's not in season. So you have to follow what's going on, and the local produce vendors, I know you have a couple that are great, and so they can, you know, help steer you in the direction of what's in season. And I don't know, some of them might even be willing to part with some of the ugliest vegetables and fruits for a little less if you know, you're willing to take those off their hands. And then buying in bulk, I don't know about you, but sometimes the food makes sense to buy in bulk, but you have to go back to that plan, prep, and package. Like, you know, you were saying that some things are shelf stable, like the cabbage. That's a fantastic, fantastic vegetable that is an amazing source of antioxidants, and it lasts forever, seems like, in the produce drawer. And winter squash, you know, out of the fridge, lasts and lasts and lasts. And the oranges and apples, and we keep oranges and apples and lemons in the bottom drawer of the fridge, and they can last a long time. And then if it is, you know, can you use it before it goes bad? So if something's really perishable, you know, I've bought before the 4-pack of celery at our, like, warehouse types, you know, organic celery at our warehouse type store. And if I don't plan it well, then two of those can end up going bad. But if I'm making a lot of soup, you know, then I might use the celery. But if we're doing a pasta foodie bar, or we're doing like a loaded potato foodie bar a couple times, then that might be a better week to connect with a friend of mine who will take two and I'll take two, and, you know, we'll split the package. You know, so it kind of, like I said, goes back to that plan. And I wanted to just touch on this idea of the coupon and deal. So I have had so many students who will say, well, I bought it because I had a coupon for it. Like, okay, well, it's not good. It's not a good choice. So the idea that I bought something that was on sale is you actually spent the money still. They didn't pay you to take it. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you may have you know, I mean, you may have saved $2, but you still had to pay. And then quality of life, because how do you feel when you eat something crummy? I mean, as soon as you swallow, then that's it. I mean, your little body is taking on damage, but you also start to hear that voice going, why did I eat that? Oh, gosh, darn, it tasted good, but I just feel crummy, you know, as soon as I eat it. So that big, you know, deal that you got was not a deal. It ended up being, you know, not a good choice.
I look for, you know, at one of our local grocery stores, they have the buy one, get one. So I look in my pantry for the pantry items there. So whether it's pastas or sometimes boxed tomatoes, you know, those are my buy one, get one things that I look for so that I can stock my pantry up. And that's kind of where I look to stock.
Yeah, that plant-based pantry, when you do, I mean, you have them at your fingertips. You know, that food is just, it makes perfect sense. And using your freezer to put the flour, you know, if you're going to use a little bit of flour or the nuts or the seeds and the frozen vegetables. So that's what you had mentioned organic, you know, in the beginning. And so I wanted to kind of address that too, because a lot of people think it's, you know, is it organic or bust? And I don't think so. I mean, I feel very strongly that it should not be the reason that you don't eat fruits and vegetables if they're not available organically, or if you can't purchase the organic version. That Dirty Dozen, you know, from the Environmental Working Group is a great guide. But I think people forget that the highest exposure to all these pesticides and environmental toxins are through the animal products because of their bioaccumulation. That when you can, you know, choosing organic makes sense. But at least at our farmers markets, there's a lot of growers who can't afford the whole process and the time or the money to go through the organic certification process. But when you talk to them, they'll tell you, we don't spray anything. You know, we're on year 3 of, you know, of the 5-year process, or, you know, we've never sprayed. This is, you know, something that we've grown. I remember there was a raspberry grower at one of our local farmers markets in Sacramento, and he had gorgeous raspberries. And I said, do you spray? And he said, actually, no, we don't. And then I've asked others, and they say, yeah, we do, but we only do it twice, or we only do it 3 times. So I found that they're really honest, but just only looking for that USDA organic sign that they have up in their seal is probably you're missing out on some really good produce out there that's very safe.
Yeah, and just to drive that point home, as far as accumulation, it's all these toxins are stored mostly in fat. And so the animals mm-hmm. have the fat. There's very little fat in the vegetables, which would make them a perfect food. So they don't store it. So a lot of them are just these sprays that can be, you know, a lot of things can be washed off in a saline solution, vinegar solution. So, but it's in the fat. So if you're really afraid of pesticides and herbicides, then don't eat animals, because that's where you're going to get them. And fish count too. They're one of the biggest things, because our oceans receive everything. The holy, you know, everything bad that happens in the land runs off into the water. So the fish are really accumulate this. And of course, the fish that people are told to eat are the fatty fish. So they're really getting the problem. You know, the pesticides and herbicides and mercury and lead and all that kind of stuff.
No, they are. And it's interesting, because that's what usually they'll be kind of a holdout when they talk, you know, when someone talks to me, you know, me being a dietitian, they'll say, oh, well, what about fish, right? Fish is good, isn't it? And I just look at them and I say, really? It's the most toxic food that we really have on the planet. I said, and then they look at me kind of stumped. And then I say, well, look how we treat our oceans. And then they say, oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just abundantly clear.
But if it's an ocean far away from you, it's not as bad, right? If you can't see it, you know, it's like the Gulf of Mexico where I am is bad. But, you know, if you go way north, then, you know, I'm sure that one's okay.
Right, exactly. It's not all attached or anything.
No, it's
But No, I know. And even the farm raised, you know, we know that that's, some of those conditions are horrendous. So, but like you said, I mean, that gets stored in the fat. So this makes sense that, and they're eating, they're accumulating from all of the sprayed, you know, the land animals are accumulating it from all of the feed that they're eating that has been sprayed, and they're just eating so much volume wise that's where most of the, you know, 80-95% of the pesticide exposure comes from, the animal products. So if we avoid that, then we get major benefit. But I also the idea that looking to grow your own. I know that you have a garden going, and our front yard is in this big, gigantic process of being turned into completely edible. Have you ever seen the TED Talk by Ron Finley, the Gorilla Gardener?
I don't know if I have.
It's really good. You'll have to check that one out. But
put it in the show notes.
Yeah, put it in the show notes, because he is from Los Angeles, and he basically said he was tired of people dying, more people dying through because of drive-throughs than drive-bys. And he took the strips between the sidewalk and the street, the little tiny, like, mow strips of grass, mm-hmm. and turn, or dirt, and turn those into gardens. So he has this group called the Brown Greens, or the Green Brown something. And my favorite line of his whole talk, you know, it's only I think 10 minutes, is growing your own food is like printing your own money. And, you know, I thought, yes, that is, you know, fantastic. And that can be a little intimidating for people, you know, to think about, oh, now I have to grow my own food. But it is something that you can start slowly. And then, you know, even kind of talk to neighbors and think, well, I'll grow zucchini so you can grow, you know, peppers, and then we all won't have, you know, duplicity of everything. And just even herbs. Right. You know, you can save money on growing your own herbs.
And that is, you know, something that's pretty expensive too. If people go to buy, you know, especially if they're going to start this and they look at recipes and it may call for basil or cilantro and they don't have it, and they start going around buying basil, cilantro, and oregano and all this kind of stuff, it can add up really quick. So, and those are things that are easily grown on your porch or in the windowsill, and it tastes so much better to be able to put fresh herbs on things. Because people, you know, again, when people talk about dressings for salads, or, you know, if you can add some fresh herbs, that makes all the difference in the world as far as the taste of your salad. And Chef Keith gave a great idea where he takes the fresh herbs that and uses them as a marinade for, because people say, what do I do when I roast vegetables if I can't put any oil on them? And so he puts the herbs in a blender with a little bit of balsamic vinegar, a little bit of water, and then he marinates his vegetables and then bakes them that way, and they're wonderful.
Oh, delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I use my herbs in my salad greens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I used to buy parsley and, you know, for a recipe, and you need a whopping, you know, 2 tablespoons. And then you have this, you know, or you try to buy the smallest little bunch. Now I look for the largest, because I use parsley every single week in our salad mix, just as a green. It is so nutrient dense. And when I don't have it, I miss it. You know, I miss having it in there. So I think people forget that some of those greens can be mild enough to have as a salad green. Some are a little more potent, but then you can dry them yourself as well. It doesn't take too much time. But with the little basil plant, it can produce just enough to keep you going for each week. You know, basically, you'll grow what you use. Mm-hmm. So, and then the last thing I just wanted to say, which is, I think, kind of a take-home point, actually, that I want 2 things. One thing is to enjoy your food slowly and chew well, because that can actually end up saving you money, because you can extract the most nutrients possible, and it allows you to connect that loop, you know, with your nervous system and endocrine system, so that you can communicate that you're satisfied and you can stop eating. when we don't nourish ourselves well, then we end up with this, I have the munchies, and then you get into all of these foods, and you end up eating a ton and never really getting the nutrients you need or feeling satisfied, and that can get kind of expensive. What are your thoughts?
Well, and I think too is that, you know, the as your taste buds change and you get away from those. So, you know, going for what's in the refrigerator as opposed to the snacks, that changes. And if you can take a moment between, you know, oh, I'm starving, to before you grab something, well, what should I eat that's nutrient dense? And, you know, okay, so I have vegetables here available that are already cut up. I have some fruit that's ready to go versus just grab the bag of chips. So it's just giving yourself a minute to think about it, and then the more you do that, then you won't start to think about the chips part of things. You'll start to eat, you know, you want the good foods. You'll crave the good foods. So if you can just, you know, kind of practice that, you know, okay, I'm hungry, so give myself a minute to kind of process it before acting on it, I think then, you know, that helps out as well.
It does. And then the golden rule is if it's in your house, it'll be in your mouth. So as long as those chips are in that pantry, then they're going to be an option. And so even if it's not your conscious mind, your subconscious is working on it. So when you start to clean that stuff out, and then the easiest options, like we said, are the ones that are the most nutrient dense, then it does. It's a natural new normal. And you make that house and your pantry kind of a safe zone. And I know some people can't do that, and because they live with other people with different preferences, and I think I know that during the series we'll address that, you know, in the future, the excuse that, well, I'm the only one that wants to eat healthy in my house. So we'll definitely talk about that into the future. But I think going, you know, leaving this podcast, you know, what can people do? I think the most helpful thing to make this something that they can continue to do is just schedule time in their calendar for a weekly planning, you know, review session to say, okay, what's on sale? Here's the ads. If you have a family situation, get some input if you want or need, you know, that input, and then make it fun. You know, have your master shopping lists. I have in my kitchen, I have one of our cabinets we painted with the chalkboard paint. So we write our lists up there as we, you know, things we run out of something or what have you. And then we just take a picture of it with a camera phone. And then we take that with us when we go shopping.
That's a great idea.
So yeah, it's
like
super
that.
Easy, you know, or even if you have you can laminate your master list and then have a place to add, you know, what you'd like to for the week, and then just snap a picture and take it with you. And I don't know, have you seen on my website, thefoodiebars.com, I have a shopping guide with pictures. So I have over 250 pictures of ingredients so that if people are unaware, like, well, I don't know, what does that look like? They can type in, you know, the food they're looking for, or just peruse through, and then show someone at the supermarket or, you know, wherever, this is what I'm looking for. Can you help me find it? So that might be a good resource, too, when people are out on the road, to use technology to our advantage.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I'm really, you know, the sticky note girls, but I got a calendar that's worked out for me. I got one of those little 4x4 calendars for Christmas. And, you know, when I first got it, it's like, well, you know, you're just ripping off a page every day. That's kind of, you know, wasteful type of thing. But I've used it as now it's my sticky note for the day. So I rip off the day and I turn it and I have, you know, my shopping list on that, or, you know, whatever my to-do list is. So I kind of carry that and you know, try to organize it as far as, you know, where I may be stopping and where, you know, where I want to get what. So,
yeah, no, that's a great idea.
But yeah, I like the chalkboard paint. I'm looking around to see where I can paint a chalkboard thing someplace. So that would be good. Of course, I don't know. You know, my mother may leave me too many notes on there of things to.
No, it works great for a shopping list, though, because you do run out of random things, you know, while you're working, and you think, oh, even if it's something like paper towels, or I just use the last of, you know, the brown rice, so put that on the list.
And it keeps you from buying doubles, too, because sometimes I think I don't have something for the pantry, and I end up, you know, because I just got maybe pushed back a little bit. And so I'll end up with three mustards, you know, or, you know, double whatever. And so, yeah, that's a good way to keep things organized. And, you know, Tim Marie visited for our conference, and she knows that organization is not my strong point. I'm trying, and I will say the Tupperware drawer is pretty good still. But, you know.
Yes, it looked good.
Yeah, when you left.
It did. When I left, it looked good, and you had all those mason jars, so
yes,
that was nice to have everything organized.
I'm working on it. It's a work in progress, you know. It's a work in progress.
So. My son actually did something that was so nice. He kind of got in trouble because he closed our pantry door and he hit a couple of things in, so everything just spilled. And so there were cumin seeds over everywhere. So my husband said, okay, clean it all up. So he took everything out. And when he put all the spices back in, he decided to organize them and put the little labels of what the spice was. He wrote on a little piece of paper and taped them to each of the lids. So now I open up that pantry and I can see all the way back all of the different spices by name, and I love it. So, and I can see what doubles and everything that I have instead of trying to lift each one up and figure out what they are. So thank you, Austin. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Austin, please come to Florida.
He'll be your pantry organizer.
Yeah, that would be great. We all need one. All right, I'm going to do that. That's a good one. Thanks. Good tip, Austin. I tell you, you know, you ought to keep those kids. They have some good ideas.
I will keep those little guys around.
All right. So I think we can wrap this one up.
Sounds great. I think we've given lots of tips.
All right. Till next time. The nutrition professor.
All right. Well, yes, we'll do it again.
All right.
Another excuse. We'll be up on the chopping block.
Oh, sounds good. Knives ready. All right. Good.
Take care.
All right. Good. So I hope you enjoyed this new segment. If you have any questions for me, you can email me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. Please check out my website at drdulaney.com. Check out Tim Marie at the nutritionprofessor.com. I appreciate you all for listening. We love a nice review on iTunes if you get the chance. I hope you try out some of our suggestions. Until the next time, move your body, eat your plants, and stay strong.